Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Joshua chapter 3? We're moving ahead in the history of Israel, and we're looking at last time we were together, which was 2 weeks ago, we were looking at the men that God spared and allowed to go into the promised land after waiting for 40 years. The two men was Joshua and Caleb. God would use Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Caleb would be able to inherit the property that God had promised him. These two men had been faithful. They had given a good testimony of what the land was like. And they encouraged the people to follow God into the land, that God would give them the victory. And yet the people believed the testimony of the 10 spies. So they were brought out of Egypt, but they were brought into a delay. What brought about the delay? The disobedience of the people, listening to the testimony of the 10 spies, the majority group. And as a result of that, God said, you're going to wander 1 year for every day that the spies were in the land. 40 years goes by. That's a long time, by the way, 40 years. Can you remember what you were doing 40 years ago? That would have been 1983. 40 years ago, and some of us were a lot younger then. Some of us had different color hair. Some of us were in college. Others were having children, and some of you weren't born yet. So there's a lot that can happen in 40 years. And that period of time was a time of death. Everyone, that was above the age of 20 died in the wilderness except for two. And that was Joshua and Caleb. God chooses to use individuals in His work of bringing us out and into something better. I want you to stop for just a moment and think about the people that were instrumental in your life of you coming to faith in Jesus Christ. You think about the individuals, you can name them, those individuals that prayed for you. Maybe it was a mom or dad or a Sunday school teacher or a youth pastor or a pastor or a pastor's wife or a Christian school teacher, or maybe it was just someone in your neighborhood that knew the Lord Jesus Christ and was a witness and testimony to you. God chose to use them to bring the knowledge of Jesus Christ to you, so that you could believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This book is a testimony of individuals that God chose to use. There are many that God chose not to use that are named in this book. But the majority of the narrative that's given to us in the Old Testament and even in the New is a testimony through the generations of God raising up people that He would use to communicate the Word about the delivery, the deliverance from your sin, and the deliverance into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful this morning for the people that were involved in my life that age 14 had worked in my life, testimony after testimony. Teachers that I had in the school, Sunday school teachers that I had, my mom and dad, Dr. and Mrs. Hobbs. I could go down the list of all the different individuals that were instrumental in my life. At age 14, I turned to Jesus Christ and I stopped walking aisles and I got it settled once for all. God brought me out of bondage, the bondage of sin, and brought me into the kingdom of His dear Son. But here I am in 2023. 59 years old, going to have my 60th birthday, Lord willing, February the 5th. And I'm not in heaven yet. And neither are you. Have we been fully delivered? No. We still have our old bodies. We still have that old man that's within us that by the Spirit of God we're to say, Lord, You just take care of the old man. I want to live the new man in this whole body. And the Spirit of God is given to empower you to live the Christian life. Romans chapter 8 tells us that. In Romans 7, the great struggle is given of Paul. I would do good. I desire to do good, and yet there is within me this power to do wrong. Oh, what can I do? And then you come to chapter 8, and you read about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that gives life and gives us deliverance over the old man and the old nature here on this earth until everything is made complete. We get our new bodies. Won't that be a glorious day? We stand in the presence of our Savior, Jesus Christ, having gone through the rapture. We will receive our new bodies. We'll no longer be plagued with evil thoughts and no longer be plagued by saying things we ought not to say. We won't be plagued with that. We will be fully delivered into the kingdom of God. We'll actually be there in person. Whereas now we possess the Spirit of God and we walk on this earth, our delivery is delayed. Agreed? That's what happened with Israel. Israel sinned and God delayed the delivery into the promised land. We come to Joshua chapter 3, though. Moses has gone on to glory. He was not allowed to go into the promised land. Verse 1 of chapter 3, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came into Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the hosts. And they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." They are finally, after 40 years of burying their relatives, have come to the day when they're going to cross over Jordan into the promised land. Now that's Israel. Israel was going to finally enter into the land of promise. By the way, they've been in and out over the last 2,000, 3,000 years. Today, they're in a little sliver of land, only a portion of which God promised to them. They're dealing with people who want to destroy them. There's going to be a great day in which we see the full capacity of the land, which goes all the way down to the river of Egypt. You see that river right there? That's the river of Egypt. Their land will possess. Does Israel own this land now? No. The Bible says it will go all the way over to the Euphrates River. Do they have that territory? No. By the way, Abraham was told this way back in Genesis chapter 15, the promise of the land. So, all that territory from the land, all this territory here, all the way over to the river Euphrates, all the way north, all right, into the land of Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon. All that region is Israel's land. Right now, all they've got is this little tiny sliver here. They don't have the West Bank, which is right here. That's the land of the Philistines, land of Palestine. They have this little territory here. By the way, when did Israel regain Jerusalem? Was it in 1948? No. It was not until 1968 that Israel got Jerusalem. Who held it for all those years? 20 years after the 1948 victory over the 5 Muslim nations that came against her, using planes from America, from World War II, Jewish pilots that fought in World War II for the United States flew those planes across, patched up old airplanes. They used tanks left over from World War II that were brought into Palestine, and they used that and they fought off 5 nations. But they didn't get their city until 1968. You remember the Six Days War that took place during that time? They finally get it, but they still don't have all of it. because portions are dominated by the Muslims, some are held by Christians, and then they have a portion that one of these days, all of this territory will take place. That will be during the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. Things are what? Delayed. I want us to look for just a little bit today. I'm going to refresh your memory about how God's plan often takes us through delays and struggles and conflicts that we would prefer not to have to go through. I think we could all say amen to that. We don't like going through those struggles. We don't like going through those difficulties. We would much prefer to have the straight line right to the goal, the finish line. Ta-da! I get my prize! Thank you! Mm-mm. That's not how God works. Every believer testified to in the Bible, if you study their lives, they all went through struggle and conflict and delays. Delays. Think about, you started out as a believer in Christ, came to faith in Jesus Christ. What a glorious day that was. But then there were struggles and conflicts and problems that arose. And maybe you're right here today. All right, you're down here in the pits. Anybody ever been in the pits? I preached a whole series of messages last year in chapel. God's purpose for pits. And I went through every mention of pits in the Bible. It's an amazing study of how God brought people through various pits. Well, maybe you're in the pits today. Well, that's God's purpose for you right now. But then God will bring you through the other side. You'll climb out and you'll move on, and then there's going to be divots, and then there's going to be struggles, and then there's another goal, and then there's clouds and struggle, come in the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest before me a table in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. And then we come to the place, heaven. But look what we went through to get there. By the way, if you want to see how that's pictured, read Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. Not Paul Bunyan. Paul Bunyan was the logger up in Wisconsin. We're talking about John Bunyan, the one who spent 11 years in an outdoor prison, and his little blind daughter, from the time she was a child to the time he was released, brought him food every day, because the family had to provide the food back then. They didn't do that. I think we need to go back to that, actually, in America. It might help people to want to stay out of prison. But here we go. Sometimes God doesn't do things the way we think He should. I'm glad He doesn't. God has a perfect plan for your life. Trust God each and every day. Well, we looked at last time how God used Joshua and Caleb in the journey out of bondage into the new life. And these two were allowed to enter in because of these verses of Scripture that bring out the important point of what God was looking at of His servants. And He allowed these two to go into the land of promise because they wholly followed the Lord. And the other ones didn't go in because they did not wholly follow the Lord. Now this principle carries over into the New Testament, folks. The Apostle Paul, over and over again in the book of Galatians, says, walk in the Spirit. How can you walk in the Spirit? Walk with the Lord. You get that all the time. What are we supposed to do? We're to wholly follow Him. That's the picture as we journey in this life. So today, dealing with the delay. We don't like delays, do we? We don't like delays. We get upset when our Amazon package doesn't arrive on the day that it says it's going to do. I got a notice on my email. It said, earlier this week that a package would be arriving. I ordered the little packages that go with our AEDs that you stick on children and adults if they're having a heart attack or so forth. And our patches expired, so I had to order new ones. And they said, your package will be delivered on Saturday at such and such time. Guess what? It wasn't delivered on Saturday. I go into my inbox, and there's an email from Amazon. We're sorry about the delay. Looks like it'll be another week before it arrives. Now, we don't like delays, especially items like that. You want to make sure you have it ready to go so it's ready to be used. We don't like delays. And yet it seems that in every generation, God has delayed His what? Coming. We're in a delay pattern. We're waiting for the trumpet to sound. As a matter of fact, 2 Peter even talks about the group of people that in the end times, what will they say? Where is the promise of His coming? And they scoff and they scorn the Lord. Where's the promise? He's not here yet. Well, Joshua and Caleb had to wait 40 years before they were able to go into the land of promise. After 40 years, there was a whole new group of Israelites that had no idea what was about to happen. They were going to be brought into the promised land. And they were told something. You're going to have to fight when you go in. You're going to have to fight. We're going to have to face all of these people groups that are there, and we're going to have to drive them out. And God will empower us to do that. Did they do that? When you get to the end of the book of Joshua, have they driven out all the enemies? Have they driven out all the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and all the other ites? No, they didn't. Another delay. And by the way, that delay has been going on all these thousands of years. But one day, the delay will end. And Israel will be back in her land in peace and in prosperity. No Antichrist to deal with, no false prophet. She will be in the land of promise, and the covenant will be fulfilled. Here, we see the promise of two men being able to enter into the land of promise. They're instructing the Israelites about how they're supposed to go in to the land. Did you see that there in Joshua 3? The Ark of the Covenant would go before them. We're going to continue reading in this. The Ark of the Covenant would go before them into a land that they've never been to hitherto. I like that word. Up to this point, they'd never been there. Notice, please, what else he says. Verse 4. Yet there shall be a what? Space between you and it. Is there a space today between us and God? What was the Ark of the Covenant a representation of? It was a representation of the presence of God in their midst. Inside the Ark of the Covenant were various articles that were the tables of the law. There was Aaron's rod. And then there were almond rods that would bloom once a year. Isn't that amazing? All those years that took place. You had the bread that was included. All of that was inside the Ark of the Covenant as a symbol of the presence of God and His Word. And on top, as they carried around, was where the blood had been sprinkled. It was not a very attractive looking instrument. A lot of times we have it pictured as some beautiful gold piece. But what was on the top of it? All the years of blood that the high priest had sprinkled upon that every year going into it for the sins of the people. It was covered with dried blood. There's to be a space between you and it. 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye should go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. So here is the children of Israel. They're told, line up, get ready, we're going in. But stay back from the Ark of the Covenant. And then what happened? Verse 6, and Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, say, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Notice that, shall stand still in Jordan. So the ark of the covenant, they walk into the water. Water didn't part. A lot of people forget about that. What happened whenever Moses lifted up his rod as God commanded him before the Red Sea? The Bible says that the water parted and they went across on dry land. Here, and Brother Don mentioned this not too long ago, here the people had to step in by faith, and when they did, what happened? The water parted and they went across the river. What a picture. Verse 9, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, every one of every tribe, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord and the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand up in a heap. In other words, the water began to pile up on one side. God is amazing. But they had to step in first. They had to go by faith. There's a picture that's given to us here of Israel entering in. Why did God do it this way? By the way, when they got to the other side, what did he command them to do? They were to pick up 12 stones upon which not a hammer had been laid. Pick up those stones, build an altar there in remembrance of what God did. He kept his word. He brought you from the wilderness and brought you into the land of promise. What happened before that? Delay. What do you do during a delay? I know I've been in enough soccer matches and I've been in enough baseball games and been out at the park where we had rain delays. Dr. Hobbs loved rain delays. We would stand out there parking cars. I don't know if Bill remembers this or not, but we'd park cars out there in the T-Ball World Series and lightning storms. Because Dr. Hobbs, we were going to play. If it meant playing starting at 9 o'clock at night till midnight, we were going to play. And we'd have rain delay after rain delay and clear the water off the fields and so forth like that. Delays are not fun. None of us enjoyed squeegeeing water off the fields. None of us enjoyed standing out there soaking wet in the delay. The delays of life are inconvenient, we think. But it's during those times that God can do His greatest work. During the delays, don't fight God's delays. Do not accuse God of being unfaithful. Do not cry with a crowd that are scoffers and say, where is the sign of His coming? He hasn't come yet. He's not coming. Don't join in that crowd. And there are a lot today that have joined that crowd. We need to learn that we will be brought into the place that God intends us to be brought. But sometimes it's through the door of delay. We're having to wait until the rapture. And then we will enter heaven's promised glory. What happens when you pass away before the rapture? Does your body go to heaven? No. Your body returns to dust. But your soul and spirit are whisked away into the presence of God. There are millions of spirits that are with God in His presence right now. One of these days, after the long delay, they will get their new bodies. By the way, there's a group that we're told about that died during the 7-year tribulation whose souls are put under the throne of God, Revelation tells us. Their souls are put under, and they wait And they cry out to God, when will we be avenged? And God says, wait, wait, I'm delaying that. At the end of the tribulation period, they're going to have their bodies restored, and they're going to be delivered, and they're going to have their vengeance. They're going to witness and see what God does with the enemies of Israel and what He does with Satan at the end of the millennial kingdom when He casts him into the lake of fire. There's a lot of delays. We would like for it to happen right now. I don't know how many times in the last 3 weeks. Why is Israel delaying going into the land? They're bombing, but they haven't gone in. They got some teams in there, by the way. They're not telling us all the story. They've got teams already in there. But everybody's been saying, why are we delaying? Why are we delaying? Well, I think they've got a plan in place. I think they've got a plan in place. There's a purpose behind the delay. Not everything has to be done immediately. Sometimes the Lord puts the pause button on. It says, wait. Wait. What's the psalm? Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Not everything has to happen right now according to my plan. Oh, no. Sometimes God delays. And He says, I want to teach you some more things during this delay. I'm going to develop you a little bit more. There's a lot of rough sections in your life. I need to chisel those off. I need to smooth those out a little bit. This is the promise throughout the Scriptures, whether it was Israel, whether it's the church, whether it's the Gentile. God has a purpose for His delays. Very important for us to see that. I like what's said in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 12. I like what's said in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. We learn something about Joshua. What does it say? Joshua rose up early in the morning. This appears several times in the book of Joshua. He rose up early in the morning. Sometimes I get texts from people at 4 o'clock in the morning. And my phone lights up. Sometimes I forget to turn it over. And I have it on silent, but it'll light up and the whole room lights up. And somebody's texting. All right? And it could be somebody that needs help. It could be that they couldn't sleep, and so they sent me a text. Now, they were concerned about something, and they sent me a text, and I'll read it and take care of it whenever I get to work or whatever. I had a soccer dad text me at 2 in the morning. And he was concerned about something that the coach had said to his child, and he just couldn't sleep, so he had to let me know. So at 8 o'clock in the morning when I got to work, I answered him, and I said, got your text, so sorry you missed out on the sleep, I'll take care of it. That's all I said. I'll take care of it. Well, I did take care of it that day, but I didn't let him know till I saw him in person. Because I don't like dealing just with texts all the time. I like to talk to people, look them in the eye. A lot of times it'll help disarm situations when it's personal. When they're hiding behind their phone, things get inflamed. Passions get inflamed. Words get said. No, I don't play that game. I don't play that game. I'd rather just see them face to face. Most people don't like face to face. They want to hide. They want to say what they're going to say, but they don't have enough courage to say it face to face. And so I met the man face to face, and I said, I took care of the situation, but that wasn't the whole story. And I shared with him the rest of the story. Well, the coach said that, but I didn't believe him. You need to believe him. It happened. I have witnesses. And we explained the whole situation, and that fellow lost sleep for no reason because he didn't have the whole story. Be careful. It's good sometimes to delay and let things go a little bit and let emotions drain out of the situation. And then reason takes over and you start thinking clearly. Oh, we like to handle things when we're mad and we're hot and we're angry and all that kind of stuff. I've learned something in my own personal life through the years. Rarely does anything get done right in a fit of anger. How many of you have seen that happen in your life? Fits of anger! The only one that can do it right in a fit of anger is God. He's the only one that can do it right. Because He doesn't have a sin nature. Praise the Lord! What does that tell us about us? I've got to be careful. I've got to be careful. Sometimes I'd like to jump, rah, 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 and then I mess the whole thing up, and then it takes weeks to fix it up, and hurt feelings to try to placate, and whatever. And sometimes it damages families to the point where they're angry and upset, and you've just lost your opportunity to be a leader in their life. Anger! Not God. He's perfect in His wrath. We're not. So we have to let God regulate our attitudes, our actions, how we respond. That means I submit my will to His will. And I say, Lord, You guard my tongue. And make sure I say, Lord, I'm supposed to season my speech with what? What does the Bible say? Let your speech be seasoned with grace. Grace. Be careful. Delays can cause you to get angry, upset, because it didn't happen on your time schedule. Sometimes the delayed blessing is the greatest blessing we could ever experience. Think about Abraham. Abraham, delay in getting a son was not because of his disobedience. It was God's purpose. How many of you think Abraham wanted to have a son while he was young? Yeah. How many of you would like to have children at age 90 or 100? Anybody here? No. We don't want to see any kids at that age, right? They're running around and you're feeble and you can't walk and they knock you to the ground or whatever. You know, Mr. Loxton found out just having a dog. Knocked him down to the ground, messed his knee all up. Yeah, we don't think that way. But God did. And God performed a miracle. The delay was part of God's planning. He brought Abraham out of the land of Ur. Brought him up out and said, I'm going to give you a land of promise. And your seed shall number as the sands of the seashore. The stars of the heaven. I don't have a son. How's that going to work? I don't have any children. So he comes up with plan B. In the delay, he went to plan B. Here's your error and my error, Christian. When we start planning things during the delay, because it's not moving fast enough for us, you've just stepped in it big time. What was plan B for Abraham? He went to his wife, said, obviously you can't have children. Give me your handmaid, Hagar, and I'll raise up seed. That was Sarah's plan, by the way. She went to him. I'm not going to have kids. So he goes to plan B, has a son. Welcome to the Arab world, the sons of Ishmael. We're living today from the results of an action of a plan B by one of the patriarchs of the Old Testament. Do you understand that? We're living right now with the results of that. The whole world is in turmoil. We've got our children on boats in the Mediterranean dealing with the sons of Abraham and the sons of Abraham. All right? Delay. How do you respond to delays? The lessons learned during the delay are vital to appreciating the entering into the new land. We don't appreciate things when it happens too quickly. Some things just need to be done in due time. If you get everything when you first get married, you get the mansion, you get the boat, you get the three-car garage, or four-car if you're really rich, and you got the pool in the backyard. You get all of that up front. What's next? Let me see. A second home in Europe. Right? Like all these wealthy people do. They got all these homes all over the place. And they keep buying them because... And then they have to start selling them. Because they can't maintain them. Do you know Brett Baer from Fox News? is selling his home in D.C. for the highest rate a home has ever been asked for in the D.C. area, $34 million. Went on the market on Friday. $34 million. That's only one of his homes. He has several homes. He has one in Palm Beach, Florida, not too far from where President Trump lives. And that house, he only spent $15 million on. But he's also thinking of another property in Palm Beach that's $45 million. So he's working all of his numbers and so forth like that. And that's nice. I'm not criticizing. He wants to do that. But what happens whenever you get everything early? What happens to the appreciation? Life lived is a process of growing and growing and growing and going through delays and struggles and conflicts and so forth. And it makes you appreciate when you get down there what you had in the past. That's the great lessons that are learned. We're almost done. Faith plays a huge role in this entering in. They had to be willing to put their feet in the water. And then it became dry land. We've got to get our feet in the water. The children of Israel had to wade into the Jordan River, and only after that did the waters part. The water was there, and when they put their feet into the water, it parted. Too many people wait for all the obstacles to be removed. In this journey from Egypt to the promised land, I want all the obstacles removed. Not going to happen. In my journey to heaven, I want all the obstacles to be removed. I don't want to have to deal with all these problems and drama and all the things that I'm called upon to do. That's part of growing. Who's with you every step of the way if you're a child of God? God's Spirit. He's with you every step of the way. He empowers you to live that life. So we learn some valuable lessons. Look down, and I'm done here. Last few verses. Verse 17, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Faith in Christ is what carries us through to the completion of the journey. We are already delivered from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. But I still have my old body. I still live with sin. I have the old man present within me. I would do good, but then I find within me this power that wants to do wrong. I have the Spirit of God to control that. Every day of my life is struggle and conflict and difficulty. I'm in the pits. I'm in the lake swimming. I'm climbing a mountain. I'm in a deep valley. All of those things are part of walking through life every step with the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. That's the promise to the believer. The delays are present. The delivery is coming. May we encourage our souls with that thought. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for what You've given to us in Your Word, in the book of Joshua, book of Exodus, in the New Testament. Lord, sometimes we struggle with the whole concept of delays. We want things to happen immediately, but it doesn't. Because You have a purpose, You have a plan that You're bringing to pass that's teaching us all the while about trusting in You, believing in You, resting in You. Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts, and may we walk every step of this life empowered by Thy Holy Spirit to honor You and to learn those things You want us to learn. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.